Global markets are looking mixed today, although none really shooting the lights out. The All Share Index was up 0.6% at the close, coming in at 55,394 index points. The laggards on the day were the financial counters. They were down 0.42%. Otherwise, all the other counters were pretty much up. Resources ended the day up 1.35%. Industrials were up by 0.25%, while gold miners rose by 3.3%. The gold price itself was also up, trading just shy of $1,910 an ounce. Brent crude oil is having a much better time of it, now trading above $43 a barrel. The local currency has lost slight ground against major currencies. We see it currently at 16.49 against the US dollar, 19.39 versus the euro, and 21.48 against the British pound. Well, to unpack the markets for us, I'm joined on the line by David Shapiro. He's deputy chairman at Sasfin Securities. Thanks very much for joining us, David. So markets are looking fairly directionless right now. It's just 3 weeks to go before the November 3rd US presidential elections. Do you think a fiscal stimulus deal is achievable before that time?
In fact, in the last 10 minutes, Steve Mnuchin, who's the Secretary of Finance there, the equivalent of the Minister of Finance,
yes,
came out and said it's unlikely we're going to get a deal before the election. So I think you'll see that the U.S. markets have come under quite a bit of pressure. So it's happened literally in the last 10, 15 minutes. President Trump was also answering questions from some economic club as well. I'm not quite sure what he has said, but U.S. markets down about 0.5%, and I'm sure it's going to have some impact or influence tomorrow.
Yeah.
We said it before the election, just expect every day to go through this kind of movement, just fasten your seatbelts, hold tight, and just digest it, because it's very, very difficult to read markets until then.
Yes, of course. But now, given that he has made that statement, he is the head guy in terms of negotiating for a deal, what does that then do? What will that mean for markets? Perhaps we're going to see a backlash for a couple of days, and then the markets will be looking for some other catalyst.
It is. What we are getting is the third quarter results. And I suppose for the meantime, we've seen some reasonably good results out of banks in the U.S. It hasn't made any impact at all. But we're waiting for the tech results, and that might swing shares in a different direction as well, to see how they've coped and whether they're still making the big gains in earnings that we saw earlier on during the year. So
yeah,
we've got that to look forward to, and to see whether companies have done better than the market had expected. So
yeah,
so there are lots. And look, you've also got the pandemic. Don't ignore that as well. We've seen outbreaks in Europe and in the US. It's still prevalent there. It's still causing upset and a different reaction. So we've got a lot to digest. And then you mentioned South Africa. We've got to hear what Mr. Ndweni has to say and what the president says tomorrow.
So yes,
if we're a little doughy-eyed, then you understand why.
Still on the U.S. elections, I was reading something earlier about how a few weeks ago or a month or so ago, the markets viewed Biden, with a negative kind of view. Mm. But now that is changing. And yet, of course, his candidacy represents higher taxes, which probably means the reversal of the tax cuts that President Donald Trump introduced. But markets now beginning to see him favorably. How comes?
Two ways, I think. Number one, I think the tax cuts are going to hurt the rich. And, when we talk about the rich in America, we're talking about rich.
Money that they can't spend, basically.
Exactly. So they're not going to miss it. And there's so many tax breaks which can be removed without anybody noticing it. And the second thing is that it's all about the stimulus. The Democrats want a much broader stimulus and a much higher level of stimulus.
Mm.
So I think that's why the markets are responding the way they are. They're looking for $2.2 trillion, and the Republicans dragging their heels with all kinds of conditions. And Trump came up to $1.8. He's still using his business acumen to try and negotiate a deal. let's meet somewhere in the middle. It's not working.
Our local market has performed somewhat better than others today. Is there any particular reason? But Also, I do see a number of market players on Twitter lamenting about the low volumes being traded in our local market.
Yeah, it's a problem, and it just shows you the lack of interest. We were at about 15 billion today, and that's very low. If we take away process and afters, which normally account for a quarter of the market, the rest is a few gold shares, and that's it. So you're finding big swings in very, very low volume. And it's disturbing because it also highlights a lack of interest, you know, a lack of energy, a lack of care for the market. So I can understand. Look, and those traders, you know, they need volumes, and they need, that's how they make their money.
Yes.
And, you know, we brokers need commission too. So we're also lamenting that.
So in terms of company news, I see CarTrack, the car and fleet tracking company, they released very strong interim numbers. What's your view on that stock?
I've got to make a view. I've missed this one, you know, because I was looking at the beginning of the year, they were about 24 and a half rand, and they're now about 44. You know, that's a massive game, even in very difficult times. They just fall, obviously, with the rest of the market in March. But, I mean, very strong results. And if you look at, you know, you look at the gains they're making in subscriptions and also how that translates to the bottom line, it looks very interesting. I need to... You know, need to do work. And what's also interesting, it's not a small company relative to the market. You know, it now has a market value of over 13, 14 billion rand. So, you know, it's well worth looking. I know there are a lot of people here who love the stock and, you know, have been attracted in. But it's one I haven't spent time on. So I'm at fault. Sorry, I can't give you more than that, but it's really good performance.
You're forgiven. And of course, we learned today that famous brand's UK gourmet burger kitchen business was sold off to another firm in a rescue deal to save some 35 restaurants, and that would amount to nearly 700 jobs. That particular investment really was a misadventure for them. I mean, but also COVID just makes things so much more worse as well.
You know what's interesting is that on Sens, which is the official announcement, the only deal that came through with Famous Brands was that it was going into what is receivership or going into bankruptcy. So I'm not sure where that came. I've been searching for that deal, but you might be 100% right. But what has happened, they did wash their hands off the deal and said, we're not going to put any more money into it. And you know, subsequent to that, I think the market has almost discounted the deal. So there was virtually no reaction on the market today. But I think they're going to just give a sigh of relief and say, thank goodness it's out. You know, and you can always blame previous management if you want to. You know,
yeah.
It wasn't us, it was them. Other guys.
And I suppose for them, I mean, they've already made write-offs in relation to that business. So they might as well look forward now.
They can look forward. And, you know, they're selling off Tashas, they're selling off a few and refocusing the group. You know what's so interesting is you can do 5 and 6 good deals or 7 good deals, and you do one bad deal, and that can take you all the way back to the beginning.
Zero.
You know, like snakes and ladders. And that's what happened to... that's what happened.
It's a great analogy, Brands. David.
Yeah, I got the big snakey.
So, of course, you touched on it earlier. Local market players are eagerly anticipating the economic reconstruction and recovery plan that's going to be unveiled by the president tomorrow. Based on the leaks that we've all kind of observed here and there, are you enthused or concerned?
The markets are just kind of dismissing. I was a bit concerned. I'm concerned that we're delaying the midterm budget. That's a concern, whether you can't do the accounting or it's worrying. The other concerns were, you know, that the suggestion was that you increase fuel levy, you increase estate duty, and you increase tax, you know, for the wealthy. In other words, I can't remember what they called it, a 3-year tax. That's a worry for me because I have found that the higher you increase tax, you know, it does have an impact. It does take money out of the system. I know that they need money to cover debt, but I would far prefer that they focused on what Tito believes in, is actually reducing debt, which they have rejected. So it's still debatable. We've got to see the final draft, and then we'll decide. But I'm a little concerned about, you know, where this is heading.
Yeah, no, it is a little bit of a worry. I did see as well earlier the retail sales data coming out for August, and they were down 4.2%. In the prior month, that is July, they were down by 8.6%. So somewhat of an improvement, but still, I guess we're seeing that the consumer is still under pressure.
It is, and I actually thought they were better than the market expected. And, you know, I thought there would be a reaction on the market, a positive reaction on that, but not so. In fact, the food retailers came under pressure. The apparel retailers picked up. But look, whatever, it is moving in the right direction. Things are improving, admittedly, at a very slow place, and there's a lot to go. But, you know, even as we saw with mining yesterday, it's you know, the economy is beginning to tick over, which we've got to monitor, and also hopefully give encouragement too. But I expect data to start improving now. But I suppose it all depends on the pace, and it also depends on confidence. You know, I've said it to you before.
Yeah.
If you haven't got the confidence to go out and spend, this economy is not going to not going to improve.
Yeah,
so but encourage everybody to go out and spend.
Yeah, but then the problem is, David, you know, the 2.2 million jobs or so lost, not all of those are going to come back. And then we know that, government has had a dispensation for those who don't have. But of course, the rug is going to be pulled away from people by the end of this month. So very...
You can't do that.
Well, let's see what happens. Yeah. Very fewer consumers are going to be able to, you know, be active, you know, and buy things and buy food, et cetera, et cetera.
It is a worry. Now, I think you've touched on a very sensitive issue. And these are this is what the president's got to grapple with, and what the Economic Council said. You know, on the one hand, you realize that you've got to put money into the economy to make it grow. On the other hand, you can't let debt get out of control. You know, that's a predicament that South Africa finds itself in. Once debt keeps escalating, you have to finance it.
Yes.
And that's a big problem, because then interest paid just takes away so much of the revenue that you are collecting. And you get into that's the definition of a debt trap. So you don't want to get into that. And that's why I'm on Tito's side.
So,
you know, I'm saying we've got to follow the route of cutting back expenditure. And cutting back expenditure is funny enough, people, it's not a matter of taking that money out of the economy. It's actually looking for spending it more efficiently.
Yes.
And, you know, we're a country that can do that. And that's where we'll make the savings, by using whatever money is collected, but use it more efficiently so that it does create jobs and it does stimulate the economy. Because we're known for our waste.
Yes, we are known for it. Let's hope everything that you're suggesting is actually translated. But now, from your perspective as an investor, when you look at the retail sector, what looks attractive to you right now?
At the moment, it's still under pressure. But if I was forced to go into the market, it would be on the food side. It would be in Spar. You know, it would be in ShopRite, companies like that, who are adapting to the current situation and doing it well.
Excellent. David, thank you so much for your contributions as always. David Shapiro, he's Deputy Chairman at Sasfin Securities.